Michael Brunsch of Husker 24/7 on the AM 590 hotline. Brunsch, are you in Dallas? Are you close? I mean, I got a seat for you out here for Husker baseball.
I appreciate the saving the seat. I'm currently stuck in the monstrous traffic between Dallas and Waco. So
okay.
Mm-hmm. Keep that seat warm for me. I might be there by Sunday's game.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I get it. It usually takes about that long too. Yeah, so
it does. I'm sitting this one out, unfortunately. So I will. I haven't told my wife yet, but we're going to be spending Valentine's Day with the sweet dulcet tones of you and Greg Sharp tonight. So,
well,
love it to be here.
We will definitely try to do our best with more of a Valentine's Day tone to the broadcast. And you know, Nebraska, from what I understand, they wear red, white, and a little bit of black. So I feel like the Valentine's Day colors, I mean, everything like that is in our favor tonight. So that's good.
The Valentine's Day alternates, what they're wearing tonight.
I haven't talked to Kyle. He's usually Johnny on the spot when it comes to like the cool uniforms and the cool alternates. I don't know if it happens. This is even going to sneak up on me that if there is a Valentine's Day alternate uniform, I haven't seen it. So stay tuned for that.
I don't know what that would say about the Bulls era if they're wearing like heart uniform first day out. That's not a good way to set the tone.
Oh, it would be lovely. So tonight, Garrett Stroh will take the mound for the Huskers, and this is a guy I think we've been kind of excited to see, even when he got to Lincoln last year, knowing that not only does he come from the state of Nebraska and from the Kearney area, but also for a guy that, you know, has Big Ten experience, was pretty successful his last time out with Purdue before transferring over to Nebraska. So he'll get the ball tonight. Just kind of excited to see what this guy brings tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really see him in the fall. I think he only threw maybe one outing against Wichita State before they shut him down. So haven't seen a ton of him throwing in a Nebraska uniform. You know, I think, you know, you go back to what he did this summer, though, in the Northwoods League, and he was just dominant all summer. And that's that league's a little bit of a slog, long season, and he really did well. So, you know, Nebraska likes the stuff. He's not going to blow you away with velocity, but he knows how to pitch, and, you know, we'll see how he does. But, you know, with kind of maybe not question marks, but some unknowns around Nebraska's pitching staff, if he can kind of get them off on a good start on Friday night, I think Will Bolt and Jeff Christie would definitely take that.
You know, talking to Will Bolt and Jeff Christie about the bullpen too, I think they're very excited about how that can look. And, you know, two guys, Brunsie, that I'm really curious to see how they replace, maybe didn't jump off the page when it came to mentioning them last year, but they were so important, and that's the key arms. And I think you look at Robbie Palkert, what he was able to do, and Mike Waldron. I mean, we talk so much about Matt Waldron, but Mike Waldron, he gobbled up a lot of innings. In fact, in the latter part of his career, the guy came in and threw strikes. And so there's so many different options, but I think those two guys being able to kind of maybe find that type of a role for somebody early might be key as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when you look at college baseball pitching staffs, I mean, everybody's going to have, you know, more than likely three guys that you feel good about on the weekend. You probably got a guy you trust on the back end of the bullpen, but it's that kind of Robbie Palkert role, like you mentioned, where, you know, do you have that guy that can come in and get high stress out, the same guy that can come in and maybe give you, you know, two innings on a Friday and then maybe come back and pitch on Sunday after bouncing mm-hmm. back. You know, if you have that guy, you know who he is, you trust him, I mean, that's huge. And we've seen in the past Nebraska, when they've had that guy, they've been really effective. You know, Zach Hirsch was so good in that kind of role for a couple of years. And, you know, go back to like a Dylan Vogt or somebody like that,
yeah,
that they could come in and give you multiple innings on a weekend. That's huge. And, you know, Nebraska feels like, I think they feel like they've got guys that do that, but they don't have anybody that's kind of a proven commodity right now. And, you know, that's what they're going to have to sort out and do it quickly. But, you know, definitely when you're talking about, you know, losses from last year and guys that kind of moved on, you know, Robbie Palkert's got to be, you know, the top of that list, even though he probably doesn't get the credit that he deserves for the work that he did last year.
Bruncey, I do want to transition over to basketball, but I want to keep it on the baseball topic because you're someone who not only follows the college game in Nebraska, but also you're a big A's fan. And we just saw that different players kind of responding from the press conference from the Astros yesterday on the sign-stealing scandal. Where are you at with just kind of how this thing has played out with the Astros and just what people are going to continue to react to, and if it's either getting blown out of proportion or if you don't think enough has been done?
Are you, how much of a delay are you on, Nick? I want to make sure so DJ is ready to go. But I think, you can call whatever happened yesterday with that press conference an apology, I guess. I mean, the reality of the situation is that, they haven't really, atoned for anything that they did. Nobody in that organization as a player is going to face any kind of punishment for what they did. And nobody's really said from that organization what they did. I mean, I was listening, I think it was Dan Patrick had somebody on today. It was an Astros fan called in and said that the team was owning this like men. And I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that. The two very short statements with no questions being answered, and they've got some guys on that roster who for a number of years have had pretty strong opinions about the way that the game should be played and what was right and what was wrong and all this other stuff, and we all of a sudden haven't heard from them. So I absolutely think that it needs to continue to be discussed. I know that the Astros would love to just kind of sweep it under the rug, and they had a good team. They've had good teams, but I think they're sorry they got caught, and I think Major League Baseball probably would have preferred that Mike Fiers stayed quiet, but it's been kind of embarrassing, I think, to listen to some of the explanations I've seen to try to explain what happened away.
Yeah, I'm with you. Never using the word cheat, and just a lot of different sort of roundabout ways to kind of posture that they're taking ownership, but they're not. So yeah, it's bizarre, but I was curious on your thoughts. Hey, basketball tomorrow, Nebraska taking on Wisconsin. Look, it was a great effort against Maryland. Maryland kind of, I would say maybe questionable strategy down the stretch of that game to give Nebraska a shot. But we've seen so many Husker basketball teams in years past that have had some really, good moments and some, some struggles. I can't think of a team that I am wanting to see win more than this group right now, just trying to get out of that funk. I mean, they damn near almost did it against one of the better teams, if not the best team in the Big Ten. Can they get it done tomorrow, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a competitive game. I think that the way that Nebraska played in that second half, there's some positives you can take away from that. I think that, the one thing that stood out to me, Nebraska out-rebounded Maryland in the second half, which is all effort, all energy, and the kinds of things that, Fred Hoiberg kind of harps on and has tried to preach about all season. And, I think that, there's some guys individually who are starting to show a little bit of improvement. I think you're starting to see some seniors like Neve Cheatham kind of hearing the clock ticking a little bit on their careers. And, the guards played great last time out against Wisconsin. I don't see Wisconsin making, 18 three-pointers. I don't see them doing that again on Saturday. I think this is a team that, even though that they've, no doubt taking their lumps this season, I think that they're continuing to compete, and that's really all you can kind of ask to get his coaching staff. We'll see if they can put it together, but I mean, the way that, the second half kind of unfolded against Iowa, I think, the team really showed that they're not, mailing in this season by the way they played against Maryland.
Bruncey, lastly, are we going to have a special teams analyst or coordinator before the start of spring football?
I don't know. It looked like we were going to get one, and then Sean Snyder moved on to USC for the full-time job. I don't know. I would expect that you would have somebody in that role as you're going through and coaching special teams, but it's been pretty quiet over there with some of the positions that they still had to fill. I mean, you've got a couple of analyst jobs, staffer stuff, so it's been kind of eerily quiet down at Memorial Stadium.
Michael Brunshusker, 24/7, on his way to Waco. He's starting at kind of an odd trek from Lincoln right now, so clearly has no concept of time. But Brunsy, we'll keep the seat warm for you. But if you don't make it, we'll try to execute a solid Valentine's Day broadcast for you.
Please do. I would very much appreciate that. And a quick game would be nice.
I wouldn't hate that either. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.